The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Justice Minister Charlie Flanagan, good morning.
Hello, Pat.
Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
You're welcome.
We'd like to get an update on the situation around the intimidation and attacks on the QIH executives. Where are we now with this investigation?
Well, there's a specific joint investigation underway, the first of its kind, which was announced last week by Commissioner Drew Harris and the Chief Constable of the PSNI, Simon Byrne. Obviously, it must be acknowledged that policing the border is a difficult challenge. But I can assure you and your listeners that every effort is being made and no stone has been left unturned by both the Gardaí and the PSNI to bring those responsible for a number of very serious crimes, the most serious, of course, of which has been the rather vicious assault on Mr. Kevin Lunny, a director of Quinn Holdings.
Now, recently talking to QIH director John McCartney, who's speaking on the show, and he was talking about the Garda response to the years of threats and attacks, and this is some of what he had to say.
The state has been robustly challenged and robustly challenged for a long time, and that challenge has not been met. When people are allowed to attend public meetings and prescribe executions without being questioned by the authorities, there's a problem. When people can put up ugly signage in broad daylight and the authorities are afraid to take them down, and 18 months afterwards, under intense pressure, some unknown agency in the dead of night removed them, it shows that the state is afraid to defend the people who work in it and afraid to be seen defending the people who work in it. If people are allowed to deliver threats specifically to our face, are known to us, and we tell the police and the Gardaí who they are and they are not questioned, then we have a situation where those criminals and criminality is becoming emboldened and our region is becoming ungovernable.
Now, Minister, that is a disgrace.
Yeah, I don't know when that interview was, but I spoke to John McCartney last week, and I know the Taoiseach spoke to John McCartney at the weekend. My understanding from Quinn directors was that they are satisfied that every effort is being made.
Is now being made. Because he said for years they were complaining, they gave names to the Gardaí about people who were threatening, people who were putting up signs, people who were being defamatory, people who were being intimidated, and the Gardaí did nothing.
Oh, I don't accept the Gardaí did nothing. I accept that ultimately there hasn't been a successful conviction. But what I can tell you, and the guards will tell you better than me, because these are specifics of investigations. But what I can tell you is that there are pretty substantial files and records available. Evidence has been gathered. Arrests were made. Files were with and are currently with the Director of Public Prosecutions. So I reject any assertion from anybody that the Gardaí have been turning a blind eye or the Gardaí are doing nothing.
We remember what happened in Limerick, and it was only when external forces came down to Limerick and came to grips with the problem there, the gang's problem there. The same is true of the inner city conflict between the gangs in Dublin. When intense pressure is brought to bear, you get results. But it does seem as if for years that in the border areas that intense pressure was missing.
Well, there is an acute challenge in border areas, and that's why the importance of cross-border collaboration between two police services is so important. Pat, not so long ago, the Gardaí here and the PSNI, or indeed the RUC, as they were for many years in the north, didn't have any working relationship. This was, an aspect of the troubles. We've had now the legacy of the troubles. I recently met with the Independent Reporting Commission, a body set up under the institutions in Northern Ireland, part of the peace process, to deal with the very dangerous and still very much live legacy of paramilitarism. And paramilitarism and dissident republicanism are still very active and very much a reality in the state. And that requires the type of cooperation that we're now seeing north and south between the police services.
But I'm wondering, the way a community police force is embedded in the community. And there was a time when Sean Quinn and his family were the heroes of the piece. They brought fantastic industries to an area that was bereft of industries, and so they became the champions of the local people. And I'm sure that the Gardaí thought the best of them as well at the time. And then you have situations where Sean Quinn destroys his own family wealth by the Anglo-Irish investments that he made. But then, you know, they come out and describe the new investors as pariahs, which seemed to get a lot of community support who went along with this. It's a kind of a group think. And I'm wondering if the local police force was also guilty of group think in terms of the way these new arrivals in the Quinn boardroom were being regarded.
Well, as Minister for Justice, my fundamental role and function, my principal obligation is to protect people from harm and ensuring that the rule of law is maintained. And I can assure your listeners that the rule of law is very much being maintained in the border area, as much, in fact, in Butler's Bridge as in Ball's Bridge. So recognising the difficulties and the challenge that you have where two jurisdictions meet, and the need to ensure the type of collaboration that wasn't evident in the past. I'm satisfied that every effort is being made to bring those who are not.
But you have ruled out the possibility of a cross-border force.
Well, there's a technical issue here. A cross-border force cannot be done unilaterally. What I did when I was Minister of Foreign Affairs on behalf of the Irish government was set up a joint agency task force. That's going very well. It meets on a regular basis. It met in Belfast last week. The bringing together of the Criminal Assets Bureau here, the National Crime Agency in the UK, Customs in the North, Revenue here, PSNI in the North, Garda Síochána here, working jointly over a range of issues from rural crime to the legacy of paramilitarism. What is being asked for now is that legislation be changed to introduce a form of joint police service. I cannot do that. Simply because it cannot be done on a unilateral basis. There's no executive in the North. There's no assembly in the North. We would need to engage with politicians in Northern Ireland. I'm not saying we won't do that somewhere down the line, but we can't do it now. But the fact that we're not doing it now is not in any way inhibiting what is a major investigation jointly between the PSNI and the Garda Síochána, exchanging evidence. Only last year, just less than 70,000 pieces of information were exchanged between the PSNI North
but
and Garda
Síochána. Going back to the complaint.
That is the type of collaboration and partnership
and very welcome
in order to ensure that border areas are properly policed.
Very welcome at this stage. But going back to the allegations made by John McCartan, that names were given to the police about people threatening death threats, making statements in public meetings, and those people weren't even questioned. Explain.
Well, I'm not so sure the extent to which complaints were made, individual names given, and they weren't questioned. I don't have that information. John McCartan can presumably provide that information from Garda Síochána.
But they've already done
what
so, and
know,
they got no action.
What I know, Pat, because I visited the area recently, I spent a day in the area recently, as indeed did a Taoiseach last weekend, I'm satisfied that the Gardaí are investigating and did investigate certain issues that were brought to their attention. Files were open, files were activated, files were forwarded to the DPP. A European arrest warrant is live in the area. And as Minister for Justice, I need to be careful in what I say about active investigations that are ongoing, but I can assure you that they are ongoing.
Can you characterise the kind of information that was forthcoming after the raid on the British home of Cyril McGuinness, the hideaway, during which raid he died of, it seems like, a coronary? How valuable is that evidential hoard?
Oh, it's extremely valuable. And again, it's an example of three police services working together in the UK, in Northern Ireland, and here in Dublin. And again, it underlines the importance of a collaborative approach. My understanding, yes, that there were computers examined, a thorough search undertaken of the house. Obviously, I'm not going to go into operational details, but I do believe that we will see pretty rapid consequences regarding items of evidence that were taken. And again, that would be most helpful to the Gardaí and to the PSNI in the context of what is a challenging investigation. It's a classic cross-border investigation in many respects when you think that the abduction, that crime took place north of the border in Fermanagh, and then the abandonment of Mr. Kevin Lunny south of the border in Cavan, needing the type of collaborative approach that's in place to bring those responsible to justice.
People clearly are terrified to speak out in these areas. And we saw even in the QIH meeting after the attack on Kevin Lunny, looking at that spotlight program, that they had to get someone from Belfast to read out the statement condemning that killing. Terrified were they of raising their heads above the parapet, because I've no doubt that most of the people in the area are decent, law-abiding people who are appalled by not alone the attack on Kevin Lunny, but all the intimidation that went before, that in addition threatened local jobs. But they are terrified. What kind of a police force do we have where people are afraid to speak out against these people?
Well, I believe it's absolutely essential in any criminal investigation that members of the public are required to cooperate. You know, we live in an evidence-based society where the rule of law ensures, essential fundamentals, that people are innocent until proven guilty. That requires a high degree of evidence. But I'm very concerned at reports that I would hear that there is something of a culture of omerta, where people are fearful for their own safety by reporting matters to the forces of law and order. That should not be the case. But we have we've confidential lines, we have series of confidential structures where evidence can be given north to the PSNI, south to an Garda Síochána. But I would also reject what I've heard here in the Dáil from opposition politicians, and that is that there's a degree of lawlessness across border areas where in some way the rule of law doesn't run in Cavan or Monaghan. I reject that, because 99.9% of the people in that area are hard-working, law-abiding citizens like in the rest of the country. So I'd be concerned at a whole community being tarnished by the activities and actions of a very small number of ruthless criminal thugs in the border area.
But isn't it an obvious fact, and our listeners are texting and tweeting in, one from Trish, it's obvious the directors of QIH were not protected, and it's only due to the extreme nature of the attack on Kevin Lunny that action has ensued. In other words, the government was shamed into action. And, you know, all the complaints, the stuff on Facebook, the posters on the local area, people being intimidated visibly in the streets. There was an attack on the personal car of a Garda. I would not be criticizing that Garda for feeling afraid or intimidated. That it's only after Kevin Lunny's attack and his courage in speaking out about it so graphically that the state has been shamed into action.
No, I acknowledge that that was a particularly heinous crime that did shock the state and indeed beyond. But there were and still are a number of ongoing investigations for crimes or alleged crimes that were reported both north and south of the border. But I'm very keen to ensure that every resource is made available to an Garda Síochána in order to assist them in this pursuit. And that's why we have increased policing in the border area, a new armed support unit in Cavan to augment the armed support unit in Ballyshannon, in Donegal and in Dundalk, increased Gardaí in terms of numbers in the area. I'm going to Templemore to the Garda College with the Taoiseach in 2 weeks' time. Again, a further 200 Gardaí graduates coming on stream, many of which will be sent for the first posting along the border.
Are you serious? You're going to send callow graduates from Templemore to the border? Sure, they won't be any use at all. Come on, let's be realistic.
Of course they will. Of course they will.
Doing what?
They will assist senior Gardaí in the area. They will add to the numbers. Look at the success in Drogheda in recent times, when again, you know, up to 40 new Gardaí were were sent into the area to assist the senior Gardaí in the area. What we want here is an intelligence-led Garda operation, which will be augmented by Gardaí on the streets, on the beat, in cars, in order to ensure that every effort is made. Of course, these people will play an important contribution. I don't think it's either reasonable or fair to dismiss them in the manner in which you suggest.
You wouldn't put a graduate accountant doing the audit on the Bank of Ireland, you know.
No, but you would give them a position on the team.
Moving on to Lisa Smith and the imminent return, have you plans as to how she will be treated? Will she be arrested? Will she be questioned?
Obviously, that remains to be seen. I know, like any other citizen seeking assistance overseas, she is in receipt of consular assistance along the Turkish-Syrian border, a place of some degree of challenge and danger. No decision has been made on the matter of her repatriation. I listened to the Turkish Interior Minister at the weekend when he said that he's anxious to ensure a number of deportation orders. It could well be that an Irish citizen or two could be included in that.
Is it appropriate that we pay for her return? If her family want her back, they can fund it?
I don't believe that is in the offing. Mind you, I'm quite constricted in what I say about an issue that's been handled by the Department of Foreign Affairs. But I don't think there's any question of following through on that suggestion that you make.
Now, one other matter, and that is the investigation into the death of Shane O'Farrell. If you remember the young man, the cyclist, out for a bicycle ride. A very talented young man, and he was mown down by a car, and later the man was allowed to leave the jurisdiction. But this is his mother, Lucia O'Farrell, talking to me on this programme.
They failed in their duty. The judge said, bring him back if he reoffends. He continued to reoffend and he wasn't brought back. In fact, it went worse than that. It wasn't just that he had committed 30 offences in the 2 years previous to Shane's death while on bail, but when he got bail and breached and he was in the next court, the next judge wasn't informed of it, that he was in breach of bail. But he's missed every day. It's the first thing you think of in the morning all day. It's the last thing you think of going to bed. If you're up at the bathroom during the night, you're thinking, where is he? You know, you just question everything. You see young men walking around this sunny weather yesterday and you're thinking, why isn't he walking around? How could something this evil have happened to him? Why are my husband and I not allowed to grieve our son? Why have we to go to meet politicians to address this grave injustice? Why are they fighting us tooth and nail? A family shouldn't be re-victimised by a system that's supposed to address failure. They deserve better than that. Shane deserves better than that. He would have no understanding of this evil. He was a very pure and good person. And what's going on is appalling, because it's very clear we have court orders to say this man shouldn't have been at liberty. The state should have put their hands up and said, look, there was a catalogue of mistakes here. But they haven't done that. And at this stage, they need to have a public inquiry.
And this was an absolute catalogue of mistakes. You're very familiar with it, Minister, I know. This man, he drove the car that killed Shane O'Farrell, Zygimantas Gridziuszka, who had multiple convictions in both Ireland and Lithuania, out on bail and encouraged to get into the car and drive it by the Gardaí who stopped him. Now.
Yeah, I'm very keen to report progress on this matter, and that's why I have appointed Judge Gerard Houghton, an experienced judge, a respected judge. I've asked him to engage in a scoping exercise. He's met with the family, he has examined the evidence, and he will be making a report to me by the end of this week, and he will be making, I assume, some recommendations to me that I would be happy to consider with a view towards advancing matters here. I believe that there are important issues here.
Are you saying this is a scoping exercise and you are not ruling out a broader investigation into the conduct of this whole matter?
I listened to Mrs. O'Farrell on your show. In fact, I've met her on a number of occasions. I believe there are questions here that need to be answered surrounding the case, and I intend to get to the truth here, and I will.
All right. So the Judge Houghton inquiry is a kind of a scoping inquiry, and that could lead to something else.
It could. I have asked Judge Houghton, which is along the lines of what we did in respect of the cervical health inquiry. asked for a scoping exercise, because we need to know when we establish, if we establish inquiries, Pat, we need to have a clearly defined set of terms of reference.
But you changed the terms of reference as submitted by Judge Horton.
We've had many investigations, inquiries, tribunals over the years that went on for years and years and years and ultimately ran into the sand at enormous cost to the state, in excess of 500 million over the last 15, 20 years. What I want is a report that will facilitate the unfolding of the facts here in a way that gets to the truth. That's why the setting of the terms of reference are important, and I look forward to engaging with Judge Horton, who has some experience in this area. He spent over 40 years on the district court.
Such is his experience that he set down terms of reference, which you then watered down.
No, I need to abide by the law here. Ultimately,
but sure, the judge knows the law better than you, I'm sure.
Well, there is a Supreme Court case in recent times in the Shatter and Gearin case. I am bound by certain jurisprudence in that, and I will be discussing that with Judge Horton, who, yes, will be fully aware of that judgment, but the responsibility is on me to abide in all circumstances by the law, particularly when moving towards setting up a formal inquiry structure, if that's what Judge Horton recommends me to do.
We've been talking earlier this morning about integration and all of that, and we know the direct provision service is 20 years old, and it really needs to be radically reformed so people spend less time there. And I know that after 9 months that asylum seekers can now seek work. So there have been some changes, and we know there are tensions all around the country. But it is not helped when public figures involve themselves in racist comments. I mean, Senator Lorraine Clifford Lee, who's running for election, is there any place for her in either the Senate or Dáil Éireann, given the nature of her tweets?
I'm very concerned, Pat, at the language that's been used across society. And of course by politicians who have taken upon themselves positions of leadership in society. I very much condemn what Senator Clifford Lee has said. I know she has apologized, but these are matters of grave seriousness. They do show a certain disposition which, to my mind, has no place in Irish society. And of course I would point to what Deputy Greeley said here yesterday. So people need to be careful, and politicians need to show leadership on the matter of the use of language, with particular reference to people who've come into Ireland as newcomers.
She seems to be a scattergun. You know, this is on her tweet. Miss Katie Price, what an absolute pikey. Then about Cheryl has new hair colour and got rid of those pikey extensions at long last. That kind of thing. I think some pieces are cute, but others look like something from a traveller wedding. Just doing up an inventory of items in my car when it was stolen by some knacker. And then a black Brazilian dwarf with ginger hair sat down beside me. I mean, this is a consistent pattern of, you know, attitude by someone who wants to sit in the Dáil chamber. What do you think?
All of this is totally unacceptable, particularly for a senior Fianna Fáil politician who holds office as spokesperson in the Senate for Justice and Equality. I do believe it should be dealt with, but I certainly wouldn't attempt to make any case by way of reason or justification for what is totally and utterly unacceptable.
Do you think she should run?
Well, I mean, that's a matter for herself and her party. I'm out canvassing for my party colleague, former Minister of Health, James Riley.
On that note, Minister for Justice, I can hear the bell sounding. So thank you very much, Minister for Justice and Fine Gael TD, Charlie Flanagan. Thank you very much for joining us.